Please and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the what?
Testimony, the
testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Last time we looked at the matter of John bearing record of the Word of God, and we ask ourselves the question, what if someone were to ask me why I believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Or as yesterday, as we were out witnessing, one of the ladies said, it's interesting that you should stop today because she is taking some college classes and she's going back to school to get a business degree. And she said one of her classes is dealing with, I forget the exact title of it, but anyway, in it, she's studying Christianity and I forget what other things she was talking about. So she really seemed intrigued and interested in that we were there yesterday. And so pray for her. And so if someone were to ask us what the reason of the hope is within us, what would we say? What scripture, last time we brought out some scripture, okay, I know the Bible is the Word of God because just consider this. The Bible says this, and this is the way it is. It's true. Notice in 1 Peter, hold your place here if you would, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 Peter 3, 14. The Bible says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a what? A reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, the context of this being ready with an answer, having a reason for the hope that is within us, the context of it is verse 14. The context is suffering. Suffering for righteousness' sake, verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake. So when it says to always be ready to give an answer about this hope that is within us, the context is that we are, for righteousness' sake, we are suffering some type of persecution or affliction. And that, you know what? We should be ready with an answer to give someone for the hope that was not the discouragement, but the hope that is within us that God will bring into our lives. It's interesting, the word testimony. What is a testimony? If you notice in back in Revelation 1 and verse 2, Revelation 1, 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's interesting. When you study a foreign language, you see sometimes you see the origin of our words, our English words. And this is one of those. The Greek word for testimony is martyria. And you might not pick it up just by saying martyria, but if you look at the word, our English word is right there. It's M-A-R-T-Y-R. M-A-R-T-Y-R spells martyr. Martyr. What is a martyr? Well, Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says, a martyr is one who by his death bears witness to the truth of the gospel. One who suffers death in defense of any cause. So a martyr is one who gives his life for a cause. And in particular, we think of the Westcoe's, Brother Westcoe, giving his life for the gospel, going to Cameroon, and just in within a couple weeks, he was with the Lord as he was shot and killed. So when it says in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? In the dictionary there, it said Stephen was the first Christian martyr, but really, technically, who's the first martyr for the faith? It's Jesus Christ. He was the one who gave his life for the faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who died and rose again. Notice with me in Romans chapter 5. So, testimony. Interesting thought. Testimony is where we get our English word martyr. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. He's the one that gave his life for us. He's the one that gave his life for the cause. What is the cause? The redemption of our souls. We were doomed. We were condemned to hell. And for that cause, he was willing to be martyred. He was willing to give his life for that cause that we might be saved. So the question for us is, notice back there in Revelation 1:2. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is our testimony? If testimony is where we get our English word martyr, what does it mean? Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Then a testimony is a cause for which we are willing to die. And that might be by life or death. Notice with me in Romans chapter 12, you know, giving ourselves as a sacrifice, it might be to death and it might be to life. There's a lot of people that say, well, if they did this or that, I would die. I would die. If they told me I couldn't read my Bible anymore, or if they told me that if I read my Bible anymore, they'd put me to death, I'd read my Bible. So we might be willing to die for just extraordinary things they put upon us, but what about living for Christ? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. So it might be true. If our government was to put certain things upon us, it might be true. I'll die. No, I'm going to serve the Lord. But what about in our service for the Lord? What about the multitude of the things God tells us to do and not to do? Or do we have the same heart? Yes, I will then. God says to do it, I will do it. Or God says not to do this, I will not do it. Do we have the same zeal in life that we would in death? A good question for us. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God does want us to yield ourselves to him. And it might be, verse 1, a living sacrifice. So the question is do we have a testimony for Christ? What about baptism? What is baptism? What is a picture? Okay, so John is talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, the word martyr is right in that word. So, well, we know that Jesus died for the cause. He died to save our souls. But what about us? How can we have a testimony for Christ? That is why baptism is the very first thing that Christ tells us to do after we get saved. Why? It truly fits the definition of the word testimony. In what way? Let's look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. It truly is, by definition, a testimony that we can have for Christ. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Okay, here's our part coming in here. How shall we that are dead to sin? Remember, testimony is being willing to die for a cause. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were what? Baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized what? Into his death. Here we go. This is a testimony that each of us can have. After we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, each of us can have this testimony that, yes, here is a cause. I'm associating with it. This testimony, martyr is right in that name, were baptized into his death. Verse 4. Therefore, we are what? Buried with him. Okay, how are we going to do this? Buried with him by what? Baptism into death. Okay, here we are. So Christ is giving us a picture. No, he's not asking us necessarily to die for the faith, although that might come to play, just like with Brother Charles Wesco. That might face us at some point in our lives to die for the faith, for Christ's sake. But in the meantime, what about living for him? So, we are this picture, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And let me just stop there. That is why sprinkling a baby is not baptism. Sprinkling a baby is simply sprinkling a baby. It's not baptism. The word means to dip, to cover wholly. So sprinkling does not fit the picture, and it does not fit the picture here. I mean, it doesn't fit the picture, the definition of the word baptism, and it doesn't fit the definition here because it says, verse 4, therefore are we buried with him by baptism into death. It's a picture. This is our first chance to have a testimony for Christ after we are saved. Our testimony, it's showing we're willing to be put to death, the old sinful flesh put to death. And let me just say this. Hold your place here so I'm not misunderstood. Let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 8. I am not teaching that any of us have achieved sinless perfection, nor will we ever on this earth, in these bodies of flesh. So just to keep that clear, 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have what? No sin, we what? Deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So while we're there, though, let's look at chapter 2. That is a fact, but that does not give us an excuse to sin. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that what? Ye sin not. That is the standard, that ye sin not. And if any man what? Sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, what? The righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the satisfaction. He's the payment for our sins. That's why we can't lose our salvation. He's paid the price. That's why. It doesn't depend upon us. It depends totally upon his righteousness. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the standard is still that, sin not. But we understand that we do sin, and that's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. 1 John 1:9, if we what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the standard is sin not. And when we fail, and we fail way too many times. But that's, listen, we shouldn't say, oh, no. You know, if we fail during the middle of the day, we shouldn't say, well, I guess I've ruined my whole day. Tonight, before I go to bed, I guess I better ask the Lord to forgive me. No, no, no. When is the time to ask forgiveness? Right as soon as we realize we've sinned. That's why spend a miserable day when it says right here that Christ will forgive us and cleanse us? The time to confess it is right then and be restored to fellowship. So let's get back to Romans 6. So we've got this wonderful opportunity to be a testimony, to have a testimony for Christ. Christ died for us. Now, don't get me wrong by this. As we'll see in a moment, baptism does not save. This is not teaching that baptism saves. This is teaching that we reckon ourselves dead to sin. This is a picture of that. So in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, Romans 6:4, that like as Christ was what? Raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so who? We also should what? Walk in newness of life. You see, the Christian life is not, you know, or we're not walking around like a bunch of, you know, woe is me, you know, can't have any fun, you know, life is a real drag. That's, no, we're to walk in newness of life. When we die to that old life of sin, it's a new life. Verse 5. For if we have been, what? Planted together in the likeness of his death. Now, here's another good picture about what baptism is and what it is not. If you take a seed and just put it out here on the sidewalk and sprinkle it, is it going to germinate? Well, I don't know about all seeds, but notice with me in John 12. We'll see what the Bible says about seeds. John 12. In verse 24. John 12:24. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into what? The ground and what? And die. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. He that loveth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall what? Keep it unto life eternal. So verse 24, the seed has to get in the ground and be covered, be cut off from the outside. And that's when it germinates and begins to grow. So back in Romans 6, baptism is being put under the water. That's what you do to seeds. You plant them down in the ground. Baptism is going down under the water. That's the meaning of the word. That's the clear picture of it. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It's only when we have that testimony, being willing to die to the old life of sin, that God can bring something worthwhile out of these old lives. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should what?
Not serve sin.
That's the picture of this whole thing. Listen, from this time forth, I do not want to serve sin. Am I going to be perfect? No. But you know what? When I mess up, I want to confess it quickly. And I want to serve the Lord. I no longer want to serve sin. So in that picture sense, baptism is picturing our martyrdom. It's picturing our death. It's picturing the testimony. A testimony deals with martyrdom. A testimony deals with death. But that's not where it ends. It's new life. Can you come up out of the water? Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto what? Sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12. Here's a summary. Let not what? Sin. Therefore what? Reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. That's the conclusion of this whole thing. Is listen, we don't want sin to reign anymore. We don't want to give sin the throne. We don't want to put the crown on sin in our lives. We want to put that to death. We want to live for Christ. And that's why, you notice in Matthew chapter 28, that is why the Lord gave these words to his disciples. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Missionaries in many countries of the world have a hard time getting people to take this step, the step of baptism. That is when the persecution really seems to be ratcheted up. People can make a profession of faith in Christ in many lands around the world. But I've heard so many missionaries say, you know, we've seen these people saved, but they're struggling with getting baptized. Why? Well, it's this testimony. It's breaking with that old path. It's on a new path. It's being willing to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and in our lives, applying that. It's the death to the old life of sin, a resurrection to a new life in Christ. That's the best testimony any new convert can have. Notice, and that is why in the book of Acts, baptism happened so quickly. It's the first chance for a Christian to testify of Christ. Listen, do you have to take a 10-week course in salvation before you can pray and receive Christ? No, as soon as you understand that you're a sinner and that I need to repent, I can turn to Christ at any moment. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Well, that's what you find in the Scripture then. Today, then, is also the day of baptism. Let's notice in Acts 2, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts 2, 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word. So why don't we just back up here a little bit. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly, what? Received his word. So they received the word. That's the first thing we'll look here in just a moment. what that means further. They that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And what? The same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The same day. Notice in Acts chapter 8. This very clearly makes the separation. Acts 8:34, showing us that we are not to be baptized until we are first saved. Acts 8:34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, what? If thou believest. And isn't that just what we read back there when the people had received the word? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So salvation must precede baptism, must happen before. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he what? Baptized him. His first chance to give a testimony. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. I do now receive him as my Savior. What's next? Get a testimony. Get baptized. Associate with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice in chapter 16, Acts chapter 16. Well, this is even more interesting here because this is at night. In fact, this is in the wee hours of the morning. Acts 16:29. The Bible says, and he called for a light and sprang in. This is the jailer. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in what? In the house. Now, this is not teaching that the jailer could get saved for his family. What it was teaching was that, listen, buddy, you almost took your life. What about your wife and children? What about their souls? Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were what? In his house. He took that to heed. Now, if you back up to verse 25, what time was Paul and Silas praying and singing? Midnight. And then the earthquake happens. And then the doors fly open. And then the jailer almost kills himself. Then Paul stops him. He comes in, falls before them. Listen, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Listen, sir, what about your family? So he takes him. Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He took to heed what he said. Sir, what about your family? Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? Baptized. The same hour of the night he washes their stripes and was baptized, he and what? All his family. I mean, they took it seriously. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. They took it seriously. That very night, they all got baptized. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with what? All his house. He didn't forget his family. He did not forget his family. So baptism is our testimony. So in closing, let's go back there to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. The testimony of Jesus Christ. That's where we get our word martyr. For what cause are we willing to die? For what cause, you know, as I look at this world we're in, you know, where I think of how we're still dealing with an all-volunteer military. Maybe that'll be another mandate coming down the tubes pretty soon. You know, you will join the army like it used to be. How are they getting military people? Are they saying, hey, come and join up? We've done away with uniforms. I saw some young people walking down the sidewalk in Greenville a week or two ago. They must have bought them this way, because I don't think a lot of people do this much work anymore. There's help wanted signs everywhere, but they had holes in their jeans. I mean, huge holes. So I'm sure they just bought them that way. Have you ever seen a military poster trying to get young men to sign up, and the guys on the front of it are dressed like that? You know, long hair and huge holes in their pants. I mean, would that attract people to the military? And yet, what do we find in churches? It's the immodest casual. This is what you find. And yet, why are we using that tactic to try to get people into God's house? The military isn't using that tactic. Do you know what they use? The cause. The cause. Wear this uniform because it stands for the cause. And it's important to know who's on your side. You know, it's amazing. If you dress modestly, a lot of people will think you're religious. For good cause. That's why. It's the cause. You know, have you ever seen a military poster with a bunch of shaggy, long-haired guys? No. And yet that's what you see in the world. No, they still have military haircuts. What's the deal? It's the cause. Are you willing to cut off that shaggy, long hair, sir, young man? 1 Corinthians 11:14, death, nature itself. Well, let's look here. In 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. The military hasn't stooped to that. Have you ever seen a military, in town at the recruiting center? Have you ever seen big posters up advertising a rock band? I never have, no. And yet, that's what churches are doing. You know, they're doing all these things that I'm talking about to try to get recruits. The military isn't doing that. The problem is the church is getting more like the world to try to attract the world, but the military is still saying, this is the cause. Yes, if you join us, we have a dress code. We're all going to wear the same color and the same style every day. No, you're not going to wear Nike tennis shoes or Adidas or whatever else there is out there. You're all going to wear the same boot, the same shoe. How do they ever get anyone to join? It's the cause. It's the cause. Why don't we see a revival? Why don't we see a great awakening in America? Maybe it's because the world doesn't see a testimony in the lives of us as Christians. What is a testimony? It deals with martyrdom. It deals with death. It deals to death to the old life of sin. Maybe it's because they don't see people walking around with a cause for Christ. Maybe they don't seem to spot Christian soldiers too fast. We just so quickly yield to the world's ways. Their dress, their everything we yield to. What about the cause, the testimony? John was speaking to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we need to ask ourselves, what is my testimony? What is my martyrdom? Keeping very clear, this is not for salvation. You know, we don't die to anything to save ourselves. Who died to do that? Christ did. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us to redeem us from our sin. But testimony deals with what is there different in my life? You know, I have never seen a soldier in uniform act ashamed of his uniform, ever. I think if anything, when they have the uniform on, they stand a little straighter and a little taller because they know what the uniform stands for. I just pray that the Lord would help us to not be ashamed of him or of his word, Mark 8:38. Because we stand for a cause which is much greater than the military's cause. Our cause is eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the testimony of Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross for us, that he paid the complete price. But Father, I pray you'd help us. What kind of testimony do we have? Have we reckoned that sinful life dead? Is it our desire? Lord, I know we are so far from perfect, we're pitiful. But Lord, is it our desire to stand unashamedly for the cause of Christ? Or do we feel intimidated by the world? I pray, Lord, that we, each of us, that the Holy Spirit of God would help each of us to have a testimony for Jesus Christ. I pray that lost people could see it. Father, I think of how many young men that are so full of the world, but still join the military because of the cause. And Lord, I think of how many lost sinners maybe would get saved if they would just see the worthy cause for which we strive, the gospel. Father, if there should be any here this morning who have never been saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, God in the flesh, who came through a miraculous virgin birth to this earth, and lived a perfect, sinless life and died on the cross, paying for our sin. And then rose victorious from the grave, proving that his blood is sufficient to wash us and cleanse us from all of our sin. Help him to receive you today. Help us as Christians, Lord. We want a good and godly testimony. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.